What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's a chance up the middle, and that shot scores! McLeod on the first shot of the game beats Dustin Tokarski, and it's 1-0, 43 seconds into this one. Here's Tuck into the slot for a shot, scores! Dylan Cousins! Burns stepping into the lane. Here's a chance, scores! McLeod goes to the net and a bouncing puck, and he banks it in. It's 3-0 Buffalo with 3.5 seconds to go in the second period. Thompson turns, fires it! Off the post! Here's a chance for a third goal of the game. Oh, McLeod. Are they going to give him a goal?
Yeah, they're going to give
him a goal. McLeod picks up a hat trick goal. The puck never crossed the line. His stick broke on the play on the back check coming to take him out of the play. But McLeod's got the hat trick, and the Sabres have the 4-2 lead with 24 seconds to go.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Thursday. I've decided the worst beat of all time.
What's that?
If you somehow, I don't know if anybody in the world would ever have done this, but if you bet Ryan McLeod 4 shots,
oh, yeah.
I feel like, you know, what do you mean he didn't get that last shot? He gets credit for a goal but not a shot?
I was wondering if he would get credit for the goal because he never touches it.
Yeah. Is it one of those things where he gets credit for a shot but the team doesn't get credit for a shot?
I don't think anybody gets credit for a shot.
I don't know.
I was waiting to see if they would change the goal to Thompson because Thompson.
They did.
They did do that?
And then they changed it back. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they actually they called and they woke Gene Steratore in the middle of the night to decide who the goal was for. Yeah, but they did change it back and forth a couple times.
Okay. Should they not have. It's cool that McLeod got it because. It's his first career hat trick, and he would have scored. But shouldn't the rule be whoever touched the puck last?
Well,
unless they're saying are they saying that it did touch him, and that's why they credited it back to him?
Yeah, I don't know.
But
penalty on an empty net, I think nearest player. Sure, why not? Well, hey, the Sabres won, and what a strange record they got there, huh?
It's the weirdest record.
First team in recorded history to get a goal in a period with no shots.
Yes. I don't know if it's a good record. I guess it's kind of like you scored and they won, but I don't think that's a record you necessarily want, but
yeah.
Yeah, because it highlights that you had zero shots on goal for an entire period.
Yeah. Trying to park the bus, which they did. They parked the bus.
Well, barely.
I know.
I mean, very barely. I mean, Carolina had the puck the whole period, basically, and like that allowed them to get back into the game. But yeah, it worked. It worked. If you had a 2-goal lead instead of a 3-goal lead with that strategy, I'm not sure what it will. It definitely would have probably not. But all right, they got the win though. Take them however you get them, I guess.
I guess, sure. Pittsburgh on Friday. So there you go. No shots in a period.
And Pittsburgh's bad.
Pittsburgh is bad. That's right.
Pittsburgh waived Tristan Jarry, their 5-year starting goaltender, yesterday, who's got like 3 years left at $5 million. Like that's how their season's going.
I don't know if anybody out there would have expected us here to be talking Tristan Jarry in the first segment, but I got a stat for you on him.
Okay.
We'll make it the stat of the day. You decided this is more impressive.
Over the third period, no shots on goal?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, this must be a good one, then.
It might be. It might be.
Okay.
So this is about Tristan Jarry, Penguins goalkeeper, who you said, like you said, just they waived him.
He was the favorite to be Team Canada's starting goalie for the tournament coming up at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, hockey analytics writer Jay Fresh of EP Ringside had this one. Tristan Jarry played 22 games this year, Joe. He made it to the sixth shot on goal without giving up a goal, six of those 22 times. He gave up a goal. He gave up a goal on the first shot six times, on the second shot four times, and then third, fourth, and fifth, two, four, and three. So playing 22 games, and 16 times a team has a goal on you within their first five shots.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad.
So it's probably not as crazy as Ryan McLeod getting a goal last night without shooting, which is pretty good. So, hey, the Sabres won their home against Pittsburgh on Friday. There we go.
What is their next trick going to be to win a game without ever touching the puck?
Which is better, that goal or the butt goal? We do have the butt goal where you shot it into a goalie's pads and he skated backwards into the net. The butt goal was really good.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know when the time is right to talk Sabres. I had a little thing to ask about it. We'll talk with Paul at 7:30. Maybe I'll pose the question to him that I'm not...
Is it about their quarter-century team? Because that's what I can't wait to get into that with Paul.
There's a little bit about the quarter-century team. I was going through the quarter-century team and counting how many of the 12 players they traded away.
I
Were you doing that also?
I was trying not to get sucked into how it's almost sad that the whole team is made up of guys that... either just would never want anything to do with the team again, like maybe Eichel or Drury kind of seems that way.
Briere.
Or, right, like guys that wouldn't identify as Sabres, like Briere, who would probably think Flyers first. Campbell would think Blackhawks first.
Yeah.
Hasek maybe now would, but maybe there was a time where he would have said Red Wings. He won the cup there.
Hasek makes the team despite playing basically what, like 1 year?
It was a season and a half, yeah.
Yeah, a season and a half, a disgruntled season and a half where he wants out too.
Yeah, so that was the you know, it's a team filled with guys like Briere, the most beloved one and like absolutely deserving of being on the first team. Like the Ducks had a team where like, you know, Corey Perry and Getzlaf are on it and Solani, like guys that have played for the team for like 15 seasons.
Yeah.
And the Sabres, like top forward, like was here for what, 5 years? Four years, even?
The thing I noticed about the all-century team for the Sabres was the only player, I think the only player that left in a hockey trade is Myers, Tyler Myers. Yeah. Everybody else was, we're not going to pay that guy, or we can't let him walk for free, or we're tearing it down.
Right, Pominville and Vanacker contracts are coming up.
And it's part of a teardown, and Miller is also that.
Yep.
And then Campbell is, well, we can't let him go for free. We're not going to pay him. Yeah. And Briere and Drury was, we're not going to pay him.
Right.
So I think it's only Myers that McKee was a free agent. They didn't think he was worth what St. Louis paid him. He made that team. Paul Hamilton, again, who we'll talk to at 7:30, he is a Henrik Talinder truther, Joe, just like I try to tell you.
Yes.
Paul said his vote was for Talinder on the team over Myers, and I appreciate that.
I would agree with him, too. I would have put him on. Myers has the hardware, though, so I guess that got him on the Calder.
So anyway, no, the question I was going to ask, and you know, we don't have to dip too far into it, it was just going to be they won last night, so you know, you don't want to have the wrong vibe, but do people think hiring Lindy was a mistake? Or just not focusing on the right thing? Like, 5 minutes on the Sabres here. When I work on Thursdays, I work from home and I walk through the basement. Mm-hmm. And the basement is kid central and it's a mess. And every couple days I'll come down and I'll clean it up. And sometimes it's such a mess I don't know where to begin. And that's, you know, that can take some time. And sometimes I feel like when we talk about the Sabres, we think of them in that way. Like, wow, what a mess here. Where would you even begin? Mm-hmm. But when Lindy got the job, the whole idea was, we know what's wrong. Accountability. Mm-hmm. We know what's wrong. So you come down and okay, boom, I'm going to attack this. This has been the problem. And we'll be fine. And of course, they are not fine. Has he tackled that problem? Maybe, arguably, whatever you want to say about in the room. But people love Lindy, and his legacy is not tarnished, I don't think. But the move to make the change and to hire him, I mean, they are still in last place in the East, and that is not where they're supposed to be. So as much as, you know, Kevin Adams will catch a lot of heat for this. And, yeah, I mean, ultimately they come down to his decisions. Like, I don't hear a ton of Lindy was a mistake.
Yeah. I guess because, for me, like, what else were they supposed to bring in? Unless the idea was just keep rolling with Granato.
Right.
Like, if you wanted a proven veteran coach, I don't know who you were getting other than Lindy. Like, there were reports that they wanted Berube, but you're not competing with Toronto to get Craig Berube as your head coach. Like, I don't think you're really in that ballgame. So, you know, you can – it might have been – it always, to me, might have been that Lindy was not – the motivation wasn't necessarily about nostalgia. It was, this is the type of coach we want, and this is the guy we know will take it. We'll take the job. And, you know, like, again, like, I don't know what your alternative was supposed to be other than you could just go back to a first-time head coach, and I guess that'll be the next thing, right? Like, yep. Eventually.
Well, is this the comparison of the New England Patriots where they brought back Vrabel because they thought, like, we need something here? And first-time head coach, sure, won't feel right. I mean, is Vrabel Lindy? Is he much different? Pretty universally respected. Hasn't won a championship, but, hey, he had some winning seasons, and we think this guy's pretty good. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Like, because no matter who you were going to bring in of that ilk as a coach, it was going to be about, hey, more accountability, more of a balanced type of system, and these players have to react well to that. And I'm not even sure they haven't reacted well to it, although it's hard to say they have. I think it's more about that this team, the whole blueprint of the last two seasons, and especially this year, getting Lindy in, is we got to be more buttoned up. They've talked like this. They need to be more buttoned up. We need to be more defensively responsible. We need to be a more mature hockey team. And the talent we have offensively will keep the goals coming on its own naturally. And that, to me, is the misstep, that a belief that their best players are good enough to score without playing Granato's wide open style. Because 2 years have proven they're not good enough to score without Granato's style.
Yeah, that's probably right. That boils it down.
Yeah, like I it's hard for me to get off. Like, I don't know where else you're supposed to. Like you said, I don't know where else you're supposed to start. Like that's it. That's the whole thing for me.
Well, 803-0550. If you want to chime in on that, you can. We won't spend too much time there. It's a Bills Ravens game week, and it's, you know, we're getting to it. We heard from the two teams yesterday. Got plenty to get to, and a Twitter poll I just posted about the offense. Heard from a number of players yesterday, Josh, Lamar. Mm-hmm. I saw attempts, and I mean attempts, at bulletin board material. People are going to work pretty hard for it. Lamar was asked about his last game here.
Okay.
You know, if he remembers it, the pick six. And he said, yeah, of course, I saw it just the other day. Like, maybe he was on Twitter or something, but he saw a clip of it. And he's like, that's all, you know. Yeah, he said something about, you know, hopefully, you know, have a much better performance, or who even knows? It was forgettable enough for me to not remember the words that he said, and the account attempting to make it into bulletin board material said, Lamar has heard all of the Buffalo hate and is out for revenge.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
It's like, you mean he saw a highlight of a play from 5 years ago involving him? Okay. You know, like heard all the Buffalo hate? What? I've also decided, this is not a rant, but in the last 4 days, Bill, I've heard a lot of people say, Bill, well, it turns out Ravens fans are the worst on this app. You know, talking Twitter or whatever. Ravens fans are the most obnoxious. Aren't we all just obnoxious? All of us?
Yeah, I think
we are all obnoxious in a room online arguing with each other about whose team is cooler. And I don't buy that any fan base is any worse than the rest. The Jets, the Dolphins, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bengals. You know, we've had our spats and our feuds, but I'm sure we're not a cup of tea to them either.
Okay, get ready, though. The reason, of course, for this is that Kansas City's been hogging all the championships
and
appearances that the argument commences because nobody has hardware to show off and end the argument.
No, that's right.
Right,
definitely the truth.
The argument rages on between the Bills and Ravens fans because neither of their guys have won anything. And had they had, like, it might be easier, right? Like, if Allen had a Super Bowl and Lamar didn't, or the vice versa, because there was 1 year where one of them beat the Chiefs, then, like, there would be less of this, I think.
Yeah.
It's the Chiefs' fault. Just when in doubt, blame the Chiefs.
But
you're right. Like it's every time Miami gets close, right?
Yeah.
Or when it was the Jets for a minute, it was them. It was the Bengals. Like the Bengals are the proof that it's going to happen no matter what. There was a bromance between the Bills fans and Bengals fans like no other in history, right? Like Andy Dalton throwing the touchdown to Tyler Boyd and the Hamlin game and everybody kind of coming together for that. And within a month after the Hamlin game, it was like trading blows, right? Like nothing had happened between the Bills and the Ravens, or Bills and the Bengals.
Yep.
So, yeah, but it is. Maybe it is amped up for Bills-Ravens because I am, like, wanting to avoid it. Like, those other teams and social media beefs, whatever, like, I can watch it and laugh at it. There's something about this one that just comes off, Del Reed put it this way, just comes off as super toxic to me. I think it's because maybe with those other teams, like Tua or Rodgers at 40, like I can get to, okay, yeah, like you guys are absurd for thinking you're on the exact same level. But like maybe it feels toxic to me because I like have a complete healthy respect for how good Jackson is. And him being exactly on Allen's plane, if not, you know, at least pretty close, if not the exact same.
Yep.
So, like, that might be the big difference to me. It's like they are this.
Well, when we talked yesterday with Luke Jones of Ravens reporter for BaltimorePositive.com and WNST, like I asked him a question about Lamar and about Lamar's legacy there in Baltimore, because this might be a little loose of a comparison, but isn't Lamar their McDermott?
More than
he's there, Allen.
Yes.
I know he's won the MVP, but the MVP is not postseason. And I don't think you'd have many fans too ready to say McDermott's regular season coaching is bad. I mean, they win all the time.
Right.
They win 13 games regularly. But when you get to the playoffs, the defense kind of goes away and doesn't put in those performances. And that's Lamar. Lamar maybe he's about to win his third MVP. If he goes out to the Bills, then, finger quotes, playoff Lamar, or if the Bills give up a million points to the Ravens, isn't that playoff McDermott? Like, it feels to me like McDermott and Lamar Jackson, mm-hmm. are a closer postseason comparison than Allen and Jackson. I know that, you know, Allen and McDermott have been exactly the same distance in the playoffs and the exact same win-loss record because they're paired, but people don't doubt Allen at all. You talk to a Bills fan, they are very confident in the quarterback's ability to perform in 8 degrees at home against anybody. It doesn't matter. You bring him in, my guy in the playoffs is a freak show, and he's going to show you that on Sunday. Oh, how about your head coach? Well, yeah. We'll see how that goes. We know that there's ability in there for sure, but, you know, we've talked about this a lot, Joe. It's time for a McDermott defensive virtuoso. And that's kind of exactly the phrasing that Luke Jones used yesterday. When I asked him this Lamar question, he said, the feeling is it's time for results mm-hmm. in the postseason.
Yeah. The difference between, I mean, passer rating is only one and not the most complete number for this, but Jackson's passer rating regular season versus playoffs goes down 20 points.
Yeah.
Allen's goes up 11 from the regular season to the postseason. So there is a clear difference there. Like, Allen's numbers actually almost look the same. The big difference, I think, is that he doesn't turn the ball over
in the playoffs. If there was such a thing as, like, a coach's defensive rankings, wouldn't the Bills' defensive rankings or defensive rating go down 15 points in the playoffs?
I think almost
at least.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have the gaffe of the Kansas City 13-second game, which is going to play into that too, versus
but
Baltimore.
Even 13 seconds, even if Allen gets stopped with 13 seconds remaining, he played an amazing game and didn't finish that drive. The Bills gave up, what, 36?
Yeah.
That's a part of that. I mean, if he throws four and take one touchdown away and he falls short, the conversation about that game is about how he didn't get to the end zone, but it's still about how the Bills' defense got cooked the drive before that.
Right. And Jackson, like, I guess Harbaugh's not like he was a special teams guy, so he's just kind of the head coach, but their defense performing pretty well in a lot of these games while still losing a bunch of them is kind of the same thing, right? Like, Allen's lost playoff games where he's put up a bunch of points. Not all of them, but he has. And then Jackson has... The Ravens have lost games where they have kind of held the other team in check. Like,
right, like the Chiefs last year, what was it, 9 straight possessions without a score?
Yeah, 9 straight without a score. I don't think had anything in the second half. Like, their losses in the playoffs with Lamar Jackson, a quarterback, they have given up 23 points, 28 points, 17 points, 24 points, and 17 points.
Yeah.
Like, they've never allowed a team to 30. They have 2 playoff losses where their opponent didn't get to 20. Like, That then goes to the quarterback. And Allen, I don't know, like there's the Cincinnati game, which they get to what? Do they get to
27-10
in that game?
27-10.
But don't have Allen losing a playoff game where the opponent had 16, 17 points.
Right. It feels, and I know it's not impossible to happen, but doesn't it feel impossible they would lose this game 17-10?
Oh, 100%. Totally.
Absolutely impossible.
Totally feels
which
like
means
it would
I should go ahead and bet it right now, because now that I said that, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I think about Lamar's legacy in Baltimore and Allen's, or McDermott's here. It's, of course, Allen v. Jackson, both of them yesterday kind of pointing out, like, I don't play directly against him, I play against these defenses. And, you know, Harbaugh's got the shield of having won a Super Bowl for Baltimore, so that helps. I mean, can he get you the whole way there? Of course, he's done it before. Lamar versus McDermott, that is almost the bigger... Who will shed their playoff reputation?
Yeah.
Because they really are going head-to-head, Bobby Babich and McDermott, against Lamar, more than Allen and Jackson are going head-to-head. 803-0550. If you have a thought on this, give us a call. And Lou in Niagara Falls is going to lead us off on the phones. Hey, Lou, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I don't know what you guys think, but I'm just worried about our safety corps. I mean, Henry's going to get touches, but I don't know, Baltimore, you know, they might just change it up. I know last game, I noticed the first half, our safety corps looked lost at times. Now, is that our weak spot, you guys think? I just want to know your opinion on our safety corps.
You mean last game against Baltimore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Rapp...
I just heard about them. Sorry.
No, yeah,
Rapp left that game early with a concussion.
Yep.
Which, you know, that's not great. I mean, Derrick Henry ran him over.
Yep, Hamlin did play. And I'm looking in that game, he had his second highest missed tackle rate of the season. He had, I mean, only two out of six. I don't know what to think about them. They actually grade well run defense-wise. Like, missed tackle rate, Rapp, I think, is the second best safety in the league this year, and Hamlin's maybe like 12th or 13th. Like, they both don't do that very often. But, like, Henry's another animal, obviously, and yep. They are not very big. Like, you do not have Kyle Hamilton on your side of the field. Maybe Bishop, had he had a great rookie season and been the starter, would make that feel a little different. But I get it. I get the concern is that they have two of the best athletes in the league, and you're going to have to tackle them with, you know, Hamlin at least is a subpar athlete for league standards, and Rapp is just maybe small for league standards.
803-0550. Thanks, Lou, for the phone call. You can give us a ring if you want. We've got some instant trivia on Derrick Henry and postseason success. And we'll hear from Lamar, we'll hear from Allen, we'll hear from McDermott today as we play back some of the highlights. Both teams had media day yesterday. It is Thursday. We are inching closer and closer. The Sabres come in off a win over Carolina. They will next play the Pittsburgh Penguins on Friday, so tomorrow. Real feel right now is 4 degrees.
For the game or for right now?
For right now.
It feels like negative 14. Like, yeah. It is so cold outside.
And it's going to be cold for this game, and that's a factor here. Lamar already talking about the weather and whether or not he's going to wear gloves. He said no, because when he tries to wear gloves, it's a disaster. So, you know, just file it away. It's kind of funny. This is the kind of thing that will live on in lore if the Bills win. Oh, the Ravens practiced inside because their field was frozen?
Ooh.
Oh. Like, yeah. That's potentially good for you know, post-game narratives.
If the Bills win and, like, there's some viral clip of the Ravens looking cold, is that going to end the dome crowds argument forever?
Maybe. It might. I don't want to hear that the weather is going to hamper the Bills, which I don't think it will. The perfect game stands there beautifully on top of a mountain. It was really cold, and they scored 47 points. 803-0550. And a lot of people would say this version of the Bills is more equipped to do it. Ravens offensive coordinator Todd Monken interviewing with the Jaguars today. I still have not seen any Joe Brady schedule stuff, right? Have you?
I haven't. I don't think he can interview. I guess maybe he can't interview right now with other teams.
Why?
Baltimore's
offensive coordinator has.
But, like, in person. Is he doing in person, Monken?
Monken's interviewing with the Jaguars. I can't imagine he's flying down to Jacksonville for an interview.
Right, okay. I don't know then.
All these assistants, the guys on the bye, but Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn. I mean, they're now into this game week. I'm interested. Like, Joe Brady, I'm sure he's going to get some of these interviews. I just wonder where the news is on these teams confirming they've completed an interview with Joe Brady.
Unless he hates all the jobs and he doesn't want to interview.
Which we got to get to that as
well.
Aaron
Glenn turned down interviews.
Ben Johnson is going to take the Raiders' job, seems to be the idea.
Yeah.
I did see one galaxy brain, if I may use the term, take on why that would be a good idea for Ben Johnson, so we can get to that. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. How you feeling about the offense? The Ravens are getting all of the headlines on their offense. We'll get you some numbers to compare these two offenses and ask if there's any hang-up you have about this Bills group in this upcoming game. Jeremy White, Sneaky Joe, it is WGR.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details.
See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.